Well, it's a lot to talk about here on the hot seat as we're joined by the Minister of Jobs, Economy and Innovation, as well as our baseball analyst, Doug Schweitzer. And Doug, first off, let's talk about the World Series, because we only spoke the last time, maybe a few hours before Kevin Cash made arguably a decision that could be remembered for many, many years to come.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't make any sense. I don't know why he would have pulled him. He struck out over half the people he faced. It didn't make any sense for that to happen. But you know what? I called it from the beginning of the season, Dodgers for the World Series, and they won it in six. So, you know what? The Dodgers have a beginning. Hopefully, they have the beginning of a real dynasty there. Like, they've got such a good team. The pickup of Mookie Betts was just brilliant. Like, they got the resources. They got the horsepower.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers are just a force to be reckoned with.
And you know what? Even saying that, too, I mean, my AL team was a finalist. And in saying that, though, you've got to give them a lot of credit for that. And, I mean, it's one of those situations that, let's face it, it's even a situation that a lot of the government of Alberta is facing in, and that is competing, but maybe with, a fraction of the salary. And even though this decision for Kevin Cash will loom over his head, you got to give him a lot of credit for bringing a team on about a tenth of the payroll that far.
Well, you know, it's money ball, right? Like, you got to be strategic and purposeful with every acquisition that you do when you're a small market team like Tampa Bay. Like, Tampa Bay and the Oakland Athletics, like, those are the best run organizations in all of professional sports, because they're underdogs financially every year, but they find a way to get it done. And you know what, from a government of Alberta perspective, you can learn a little bit from that. You got to be scrappy. You got to find your spots. You got to be more strategic than your opponents. And you know, and from a government perspective, it's, okay, how do we learn from this? How do we find the best possible policies to give Alberta that advantage that it needs?
That's what you got to love about sports. You can relate it to almost anything. And speaking of that, just before, I'd seen it come in, and I see some really positive news coming in from the latest job numbers. Tell us about them.
You know what? We had over 23,000 more jobs created in the month of October. That is just good news. That's five straight months of job growth. We've recovered 72% of the jobs that were lost in the pandemic. So that's over it's almost 260,000 jobs recovered. So you know what? We still got a long way to go, but it's just encouraging. Another day, another month of momentum, another month heading in the right direction. So that's encouraging. Notwithstanding the fact that we have had really challenging times in our energy industry, we've had challenging times there. Everybody knows it. Even with that, we're still gaining jobs back as a province as a whole. So you know what? To all those entrepreneurs out there that are doing the hiring and fighting through the pandemic, we just say thank you to you for doing everything that you've done to get Albertans back to work.
Awesome. And I know one of the things that I'd love to tell you about up here is that I know you love all the innovation that's happening in Alberta. And this is one I'm actually excited to tell you about, a little pilot project that's happening up here at the Peace Regional Waste Management Company. And what the pilot project does, a Coles Notes version, is that they're actually going to take landfill waste, heat it up, and then turn it into fuel, which would be fed into the local grid. A pilot project and the first of its kind in Alberta. And it's happening right here in the Peace Country. These are the type of innovation stories that you get excited about.
You know, I've heard lots of interesting opportunities up there in the Peace Country. You've got some people that are kicking tires and some, even like kind of run-of-the-river type power projects. Like, you've got a whole bunch of people looking at opportunities up there in that neck of the woods that are just exciting to take a look at and grow from. Like, a lot of innovative people in the Peace Country.
No doubt about that. And also, I guess on this one that's kind of exciting too is that not only will it feed electricity into the grid, it's a process I think called gasification. And I won't even play a scientist on TV. I won't even pretend that. But from what I understand, it's a process of taking garbage out of the landfill and then feeding it into the grid. And then somehow, some way, that's a win-win where possibly some energy is fed in. And on top of that too, you're helping strip down landfills, which we'd probably like to see less of them if we could.
Yeah. Remember the old Back to the Future 2 movie? We're going to date ourselves with this. Remember when they were firing up the DeLorean and what he needed for energy was garbage? You know what? Who'd have thought Back to the Future 2 would actually have an application in today's world?
In today's world and right here in the Peace Country. And here's one that we're talking about. And this is one that, obviously the American election still, I guess, we don't know when it's going to be decided. I think I've given up figuring out when the final count's going to be in on that. But at least in terms of that, though, if Joe Biden is elected, he made some pretty stringent statements during the campaign about his thoughts on what he'd like to do with Keystone XL. Is there a little bit of sweat happening here, at least, or do you think that was just a promise more than an actual situation?
You know what? I don't want to comment too much on what's happening in the U.S. and the election down there. It still hasn't been called, so the count is still going on. It's very close, though. I mean, a lot of people weren't thinking it was going to be a close election in the U.S., and you got the Electoral College could swing one way or another based off of a couple states. So, you know what, we're monitoring it closely. We have a team on the ground, either way, depending on who wins the presidency, to continue to advocate for Alberta's interests. James Rajotte is our representative. He's a longtime member of parliament. He's a representative in Washington, D.C., has excellent relationships in Washington. So he's leading the charge down there to defend Alberta's interests.
Now, this is one I saw that was on your Twitter either last night or this morning, and it was about a Made in Calgary, a film company coming up with interesting children's types of films that I saw a clip of on the thing, and I'm thinking to myself, is that you and I are kind of in the similar 40s age range here. Where was this kind of cool programming when we were younger?
No kidding. Like, there's this company called Kidoodle. So any young parents out there with young kids or grandparents of kids, so Kidoodle, it's kind of like Netflix meets YouTube. So content, you can either pay and have no commercials, or you can subscribe for free and have commercial content. But everything on there has been reviewed to make sure that it's appropriate for children. All the ads are actually reviewed by grandparents. They hire grandparents to review the ads to make sure that they're kid appropriate. And all the content has to be kid, you know, sensitive. So, I mean, I've got daughters, and, you know, when they would go on YouTube or some of these other things, advertisements would get bombarded at them. And sometimes you're like, wait a minute, what are you guys watching over there? And it's so easy for kids to click the button and keep going on those platforms. And this one here is like kid driven. It's got good content. They've got everything from Paw Patrol. I saw some Lego content on there. So they're working with all of the big platforms on getting content through there. So their growth trajectory is through the roof. They've got, I was just talking to the president there. I mean, they've got lots of interest. They're growing, you know, just rapidly. And it's built right here in the province of Alberta.
Okay, and this is actually one that I wanted to come in, kind of tying to that comes from a student out here, actually, and in terms of an arts student. And this is, hey, Minister, the arts industry and the film industry, how important is that in Alberta's economic rebound? Signed, Tanya.
You know what? I think that there's a big play for us in when it comes to film and television. It's just such a growing industry worldwide. We do have a film tax credit, which is designed to help attract film products into the province. But you know what? I think that we could possibly do even more in this field to continue to position Alberta for success. We've got amazing landscapes. We've got, you know, a workforce that's there looking for employment. So I do think that there's some potential opportunities here. And also, people don't know this, but there's been many films done here in the province of Alberta that have won Academy Awards. So they've won Oscars. So it really is a matter of, you know, capitalizing on our opportunities here. You know, with this pandemic and, you know, and some of the downturn in the oil industry in particular, it's forced many people to kind of rethink about how do we position our province and what are some low-hanging fruit, where can we grow? And I think film and television is an area that we could very easily have a base to build on.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. You can't argue with the landscape no matter where you are, whether you're by the mountains, by the Peace Region. That's one thing about Alberta is that you could pretty much pick anywhere in the province and just drive a few kilometers and you can have a completely different landscape, can't you?
You really can. Like, yeah, if you want to have the amazing mountain shots, you can do that here. If you want to have river valleys, if you want to have prairie, you've got it all here.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And all right, I guess we're going to go back onto the baseball thing because this is actually one that I saw very interesting, and it was on Instagram, and Trevor Bauer coming out and saying that Toronto could intrigue him. How much of a shot in the arm? Do you think that would be enough to maybe put them up in Yankees territory or even in the territory of Tampa Bay if they're able to add an arm like that?
Well, you know, if Toronto could get Trevor Bauer, I mean, they would be one of the leading teams in the AL. I think they would definitely make the playoffs as a wild card at minimum. But yeah, he would be right. I think it would almost be the right time. You know, if I were them, I'd take a good 2 to 3 year contract out with him. You know, give him some big money. But I think he'd be worth it. It'd be kind of like when they rented Roger Clemens there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Gave him a real shot in the arm. I think it'd be the same thing with Trevor Bauer.
Here's an interesting one, and I saw this yesterday, and that's about a former Blue Jay, Marcus Stroman. Now, the Mets made a qualifying offer to him, and that's $18.9 million, and all he just has to do is nod and sign his name, and he gets $18.9 million for next year. But he's thinking that he may be worth a bigger deal, a longer-term deal, and based on what we're seeing so far in free agency, the money due to the pandemic, obviously, is not out there like it would be. I love the fact that Stroman believes in himself that much. We always know that he's a big believer in his abilities, but do you think this may be a little bit of a high risk?
I wouldn't sign him. I don't know. He's had injuries up and down seasons. I don't think he's a good pitcher, and I think he has the occasional remarkable game, but I just don't see him being a pitcher that you could build a rotation around. Like, at Bauer, you can. There's other pitchers that I think are available that you could build a rotation around. I think Stroman's kind of a 3-4 starter, on an okay team. I mean, probably a 4-5 starter on a good team. So I don't think that market's going to be there for him.
Fair enough. And speaking of somebody else who joined the market, it turns out, and I just found this out yesterday, that Masahiro Tanaka of the Yankees, not qualified, 32 years old, but does have an injury history. Is that somebody you would take a wild card on?
That's somebody that, if you sort of sign him to a short-term deal, like a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, I think you could get some value there. I think he, when he's healthy, he's a good 2-3 starter. So he would be on a playoff team. I think he'd be a good addition.
All right, awesome. Minister Schweitzer, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for checking in with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
This is Doug Schweitzer, our baseball insider, as well as the Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation on another edition of The Hot Seat.